Welcome to the Grunt Free Press Podcast. This is episode 168. We made it another year, guys. And no, it's not like a show anniversary or anything like that. I don't think. I haven't done the math. I don't think it's been, it's just like the fourth or fifth year, whatever the fuck it is now. Nor do I really care anymore. I'm talking about special life occasions, that kind of anniversary. Or death occasions, because it's October, so it's spook month officially. The only good holiday we have left. So we're all gonna revel in the fantasy we share as a human race of, you know, it's coming spooky time, it's Halloween, you know, we all wanna really, I mean, beneath the surface, we all wanna murder people and have all the girls want to dress up like fucking whores. And that's what Halloween's about, isn't it? So, I'm Absolute Deicide. www.gruntfreepress.com is the website. I think Agony is the last game that I reviewed over there. So, I mean, that came around full circle. It's seasonal now, right? Makes sense. It's relevant. Right, guys? podcast@gruntfreepress.com is the email address where you can send in your death threats and rape fantasies, because that's all acceptable for 31 days. We're good. So, you know, I broke into your house and I slit your boyfriend's throat and I made you blow me at gunpoint. Then I blew your fucking brains out anyway and burned down your house. So, gotcha. You know, trick or treat. It's fucking spook month. So, yeah, so let's start this good-natured season off with a... We're going to do a little history lesson here. And, yeah, to follow up from last week, you know, I've been reading through this Call of Cthulhu, the RPG rulebook. You know, I've been flipping through it. Right? Yeah, I've been reading it. You know, the Keeper Handbook, because I'm a fucking geek, and plus, once again, you know, the main game I want to talk about here, Forza Horizon 4, which I played a shit ton of, came out on a Friday. You know, I bought the, really comes out fucking today or whatever, on a Tuesday like normal, but, yeah, I bought the fucking, the Ultimate Edition for early access, and, you know, they can't do, like, a full fucking week or anything like that, God forbid, fucking 7 days, it's gonna come on a fucking Friday, now they gotta fuck me all up like that, but anyway, here we are, so we're gonna do some, let's talk some H.P. Lovecraft first, to kick off official spook month, the scare month, whatever the fuck you want to call it. So H.P. Lovecraft, you know, the man, the myth, the writings, the racism. I'm a big fan of everything he's ever done, especially his politics. So, in the book here, in this fucking, whatever the fuck it is, Dungeon Keeper Guide, Keeper Handbook. Yeah, they have like a short biography on him in there. You know, most of it, like, you know, again, I have all his books or whatever, you know, compilations of it. So that's something, if you go on to fucking Amazon right now, if you have a Kindle, you can get like every fucking, the complete H.P. Lovecraft, everything he's ever wrote for like 79 cents, I think. So, yeah, I don't know excuse besides pure laziness or, you know, you're not interested, whatever, on your part, or in my case, I don't have a fucking Kindle and I already have the books, but it's like 79 cents. So whatever. I'm reading the book, you know, I have all the fucking, all those anthologies that I already have. They've had like similar, introductions in there about who Lovecraft was and, you know, same type of thing. But let's take a look into the life and the mind that became one of the most influential horror writers of modern time. Because, again, it's fucking spook fest. We're going to do some spooky shit. And, yeah, somebody's a moderately successful writer from the fucking 30s. It's pretty spooky if you think about it. So, yeah, Howard Phillips Lovecraft was born in 1890 in Providence, Rhode Island. He was kind of a rich kid, it sounds like, as the book describes him as never having a steady job in his life. It seems like he came from a wealthy family that was, like, his family fortune was on the decline, where they had to sell off their properties. They were downsizing over time until, H.P. Lovecraft spent the last of his days, the last days of his life. He was living with his two aunts, and he died at age 46. So, but by all accounts, he was a weird dude. You know, they describe him as socially awkward. He dropped out of high school because he had a nervous disorder. He didn't have any kids during his life. He was married, but only for 2 years before they split up. And all that kind of mirrors my own life, by the way, to a shocking degree. But yeah, towards the end of his life, he was traveling a lot. He was going antiquing like a weirdo, just going to different fucking countries and just looking at antiques and buying some of them, I guess. Even for the time back then, in the fucking, whatever, 30s and shit, 30s, 40s, around then, whatever, again, I'm really bad at math, but yeah, but for his time, people said, like, you know, he was dressed, and he dressed and he acted like he belonged to, like, 100 years before. Like, he would have fit in, like, 100 years before. He didn't really fit in with his times. So, I mean, he wasn't a trendy faggot, in other words, which is probably why his work turned out to be so original and influential, and, you know, it's not many other, you know what I mean? His fucking, it sticks out as he's kind of like, he was doing his own thing, so fucking what he made just stuck out even for however many other fucking horror and sci-fi writers were back then. It just, just fucking sticks out as Lovecraftian as a fucking, you hear about that quite often. So yeah, he wrote 65 stories, which certainly isn't what you would call prolific for a lifelong professional writer. And yeah, most of those were short stories and novellas, not really full-length novels. He wasn't exactly fucking Stephen King, you know. Lovecraft wasn't. If I was looking at that Kindle version, it's like, oh, all the, you know, every fucking H.P. Lovecraft story ever written, I think it was like 480 pages or something like that. Like, it's not much. I mean, they're not really that long. Then you can put in, if you want to include other shit that he did, like he fucking, like, edited stories or all that shit, it can get up there. But just for him, like, writing, just not that much. Again, 65 stories, it said in the book. But again, it's kind of like debatable of, he kind of wrote some of this and he ghost wrote some of that shit, but not much, like, core, just straight up H.P. Lovecraft shit. He wasn't considered a successful writer in his time. He was relatively obscure until well after his death, when his fans and his friends kept his work alive, and other writers kept working on his most famous creation, the Cthulhu mythos. Other people continue. They continue to this day, just writing more shit about Cthulhu and that whole universe. So, yeah, Lovecraft himself didn't really plan out any concrete rules for what the Cthulhu mythos was. There were just a few stories that he wrote that shared some common themes, and, you know, they'd mention the same people in different stories, or fictional books that would turn up in a couple of stories of his, you know, like the Necronomicon. You know, if you heard of the fucking Necronomicon, and from the fucking Evil Dead, and it shows up in whatever, the fucking Satanic Bible. Yeah, you know, like Anton LaVey would use that as, like, a book that was real. You know what I mean? It was fucking, like, talking about, like, the Necron. I think he would, like, fucking, even in the Satanic Bible and shit, like, he'd fucking just have, like, pages of, like, oh, this is from the Necronomicon and shit. Like, he's fucking, like, some ancient text. Again, it was just fucking made up shit that Lovecraft fucking made. So yeah, I mean, the Cthulhu mythos, it was just, you know, there's just about these ancient cosmic gods that would appear and usher in the apocalypse when they showed up, and yeah, you know, the gods would fight amongst each other and generally cause chaos and insanity to anybody who even like looked at them or get close to them. It meant bad news pretty much whenever fucking somebody stumbled across them. Or again, they had no choice and they would just fucking whatever, destroy like half the planet or whatever. So again, this wasn't like some mapped out, pre-planned pantheon of gods and or anything like that, and it wasn't like a fucking, you know, it wasn't like some fantasy alternative history that he was making with just straight up timelines and all that shit. You know, it wasn't like a franchise he was trying to build. He wasn't like marveling his fucking stories. And yeah, actually the suggestion to just take what he was doing already, just fucking like, I, you know, I mentioned a couple similar things in my stories, and to take that and run with it and just, you know, keep doing that and build on it. And again, he's kind of like, he wasn't even like retconning. He just fucking like, let's keep going. Just again, just take a couple pieces here, just mention a character that I mentioned before in another one. Like he was encouraged to do that from feedback that he got from his like fans that he was corresponding with, or other fiction writers that, you know, were in his circle. So you can almost call him like an early example of like of him being like a social media addict. Like he wrote over 100,000 letters at least, you know, that they can find, you know, and it's fucking compared to, you know, he probably spent more time doing that than he did writing his stories, you know what I mean? So he wonders why he wasn't successful in his day. Though, I mean, you know, really though, I mean, that seems about as well known as you were going to get being a fucking sci-fi horror writer, you know, writing those stories. You know, again, he was doing his own thing and using fucking antiquated and made up fucking languages and shit. You know, he's writing weird shit even for then, you know. And then like, I don't know, how successful was he going to be doing that shit? Just what comes to being fucking like, you know, like really original and just doing weird shit for any time, really. He's just, as far as that goes, he seemed pretty well known. I mean, he had his work fucking published in magazines and shit. So, it's not like he was just like, as he died and somebody like fucking like dug up his fucking manuscripts afterwards. And like, oh, well, look at this, what this guy was doing. It was fucking like, nah, he had shit professionally published and shit, but I'd say kind of successful, but yeah, he would become depressed at the stories that got rejected multiple times. He'd be like, I think I have something good, and he'd just send it in. And the usual shit, this still goes on today of just fucking like, you know, certain magazine would publish his shit. And then like would change hands, and like the fucking, they'd have like a different fucking editor or whatever, different owner that would want to take in a different direction, and be like, oh, this is weird. Like, why can't I fucking get this shit published now, which I think is my best work? And you know, just kind of like politics or whatever, or just fucking different business decisions that were going on that he couldn't control, and you know, he'd get depressed when he couldn't get his stories in there. But yeah, but I think, you know, I think a lot of his posthumous success, you know, even though again it would have just been like, is this guy that ran fucking a dozen stories and fucking weird tales or whatever fucking magazine, but then, you know, then he has the success afterwards after he dies. I think a lot of that has to do with the social circle that he ran in. Because again, as much as the biographies and shit that I've read about him, or you know, as much as he's painted as like this anti-social fucking, you know, loser, fucking loner, whatever, he was friends with quite a few fucking rich and better known authors. You know, you have like fucking Robert E. Howard, the guy who created Conan the Barbarian. You know, those two even did some like informal crossovers in their fiction where, you know, the Howard would create like a magical book in the Conan series. And then like that book would appear in like Lovecraft's fucking writing. And then, you know, Lovecraft would even like references, the land, the fictional land where Conan the Barbarian takes place, like in his books, like fucking Chimera, whatever the fuck. I don't know. I've never read fucking Conan, but, Conan, but yeah. So, but yeah, those two would go back and forth. Yeah, and then like fucking, you know, or the guy who wrote Psycho, was it Robert Bloch or some shit? Yeah, he would create a character based on like H.P. Lovecraft and put like that character in his stories. Then fucking Lovecraft would do like, you know, take him and fucking put him in his stories and shit. And they'd like kill each other or whatever. So yeah, I mean, it was kind of like fucking like comic book crossovers for the day, or fucking like rap battles or whatever, you know. Yeah, and his fans were the ones that were telling him to keep it up, you know. They'd write him and shit and fucking tell him to like keep going with like the Cthulhu thing and like expand upon it, and tell him to like keep connecting that shit and like making callbacks to his previous work and all that. So yeah, fan fiction, because there was and still is a ton of fucking like Lovecraft fan fiction. So some of which would just be like, I'm just gonna like kind of copy and like ape his style, like ape fucking Lovecraft style, and just kind of like write my own thing that's kind of sounds like he wrote it, or in the case of August Derleth, after Lovecraft died of cancer, Derleth went through, just took like everything, just took all his writings, like went through his notes and shit, and he would fucking just like finish, like, oh, here's like some half finished story, like Derleth would fucking take that and finish it and publish it. Derleth also founded Arkham House Publishing, which he would just, you know, put all that shit into a book and promote it and keep Lovecraft stories alive that way, and just fucking just make sure it's fucking, again, he's do different editions and keep, like, you know, so all the fucking, the books that I have of his are all, it's all fucking Arkham House Publishing. So yeah, and again, Arkham is in fucking Arkham Asylum from fucking Batman, Arkham City and shit, like Arkham comes from fucking Lovecraft too. So yeah, I mean, so like some of that shit, like that biography might sound contradictory. Some of it is me kind of reading between the lines and being like, yeah, I don't know, you know what I mean, like fucking some of the contradictory stuff of me being maybe, but you know, like how much of it is you know, it seems like for like Derleth, like publishing that shit and just taking all those you know, rewriting or taking the unfinished shit and like publishing it and then like being successful and just kind of grab it. Like how much of that is like, I'm a Lovecraft fan and I want to see his legacy and his name live on, and because he didn't have any kids or anything, so again, I was just kind of, whoever could grab it could use it. So how much of it is that, and how much of it is, you know, this guy's dead with no heirs that can fucking claim his work, and it's basically fucking public domain, and I can pull from that and just publish what I want to and cash in on the fucking the zeitgeist and just kind of build up like a marketing thing of this guy Lovecraft and paint him as like this fucking, again, just this fucking misunderstood like genius, like that type of thing, you know, like how much of it is that kind of like going viral when the virus could only spread at like a snail's pace, you know, but have a much fucking longer tail, you know? Because, you know, there's no internet or anything, so it's fucking, you see a book fucking published, and there's only so many books that would be published back then. It would be kind of a bigger deal than it is now. So just kind of like building up that and cashing in on it. I don't know. But again, that itself is very Lovecraftian in a meta way of going viral like that. So whatever, I mean, read yourself some H.P. Lovecraft, check out the trailer for the upcoming Call of Cthulhu video game, though I know there's fucking videos out there of like the entire like first hour of that game being played. That seems like a little bit much, don't you think? I mean, I don't know if I want to watch that. I mean, if you're on the fence about it after seeing like whatever, they have like some videos that are just like 10 minutes that'll break down like, oh, here's what the game's about and shit. If you watch that and you're like, yeah, I don't know, you want to watch like an hour of it, I guess, go for it. But I don't want a fucking an hour spoiled of the fucking game for me, but whatever. And also check out the fucking the Cthulhu and Friends podcast, where if they play the RPG, that's a good one. I mean, it's one of those deals you have to start on episode one or it's not going to make any sense. Like it is fucking like they're telling a story and shit. It's fucking episodic, so you got to start from the beginning. Yeah, I mean, and if that doesn't convince you, I mean, fucking Lovecraft's had a black cat named Nigger Man. So, yeah, I mean, that's how we're going to begin the 2018 Grunt Free Press Spooktacular. And, yeah, I wanted just to kind of give an example of what I'm talking about here. I'm just going to read a little bit from this book here, the fucking... Was it the Keeper's Handbook? Whatever the fuck it is, whatever weird name that they call their Dungeon Master's Guide. So yeah, it was one of the sections is called the Cthulhu Mythos, and it just kind of explains what it is. A little quote here from H.P. Lovecraft from the story Cool Air. And it is a mistake to fancy that horror is associated inextricably with darkness, silence, and solitude. So yeah, there you go. Just a little paragraph I wanted to read. So yeah, Lovecraft once wrote, "All my tales are based upon the fundamental premise that common human laws and interests and emotions have no validity or significance in the vast cosmos at large." So yeah, he further imagined that the fundamental truths of the universe were so alien and horrifying that mere exposure to them might result in madness or suicide. While humanity might crave both the comfort and the truth, only one or the other was possible. The human mind is an inflexible container. It cannot maintain cosmic truth and complete sanity. More of one poured in must spill out more of the other. Humans desperate for the power cloaked within truth might choose to forgo all remnants of sanity in exchange for becoming adept at manipulating the secrets of time and space. Their devil's bargains made, these merciless sorcerers would whistle down devastation and doom to this world in exchange for more knowledge and power. So, there you go, just to give you a little flavor of what's going on there, what that's about. Again, before, it's just like the introduction of that fucking book before they start getting to like the hardcore rules. It's just kind of just like flavor shit of who Lovecraft was and what his stories are about. So, we played Doom 64, just like I promised. Not on original hardware, mind you. I mean, I'll be happy if I never touch a fucking Nintendo 64 controller for the rest of my life. So, we played the kind of standalone, but dedicated PC port of Doom 64, which I believe is just called the Doom 64 EX. If you search for that, you'll find it, I'm sure. You do need a copy of the Doom 64 ROM to play it too, which I was worried about that after finding... I was worried about finding that after fucking... Nintendo did what Nintendo does, be gay and threaten every fucking ROM site on the internet, to sue them so they can fucking charge you for a fucking subscription service that uses the same fucking ROMs that they pulled from those same sites. I guess on the fucking the Switch, whatever, the Nintendo Online Service, where they have that shit, they have the fucking, oh, you can play these fucking classic Nintendo games. I guess they play kind of shitty, from what I'm fucking hearing anyway. I can only report on what I'm hearing secondhand, because I'm sure as shit not going to fucking pay fucking, I'm not paying for fucking 30-year-old fucking NES ROMs, which again, Nintendo just fucking pulled from sites for free. And then fucking charge you for them. So I'm not doing it. But the PC port of Doom 64 is excellent. I mean, it's not just a fucking, it's not just like straight emulation of the fucking Nintendo 64 game. You know, it's the same fucking core game. Obviously, it is the fucking ROM you're running, but I'm saying it just they have it fucking like just up-resed. It looks and it runs fucking super smooth. It has its own fucking menus that are, you know, unique to this version. But it's all like integrated into the game. You know what I mean? They did the menus and shit, so it just looks like fucking like if you didn't know, it'd be like, oh no, this is what this is what the Nintendo 64 fucking version was exactly. But it's like, oh no, like the menus are completely set your resolution and all the, you know, bind your keys. It just made it look like it just fits in like just perfectly. So. As far as fan mods and ports and shit and emulation goes, like it's just pretty fucking legit. Like it's just kind of just for Doom 64, but it's fucking like, oh yeah, but they've made it so it's fucking awesome. So there's options to set up a controller. I tried using my Xbox One Elite, and I had it hooked up. I'm like fucking like, oh, let's fucking try it with the controller, but. That wasn't working perfectly. I mean, the buttons were swapped around. Some of the buttons weren't registering and shit or whatever. So I might have been able to like remap it to make it work. Or I'm sure it's supposed to be played with like an Xbox 360 controller. I could just hook that up and fucking. I bet that would have worked fine. But that happens a lot. The fucking it's like it's game meant for the 360. You plug in a fucking Xbox One controller and just everything's just kind of off or buttons don't work. Whatever. I'm sure a 360 controller works fine, but whatever. I mean, I can't really fault the game for. I can't fault the guys who made the fucking the port for not having fucking native Xbox One support. I don't think that fucking console was even out yet when they made it. So I'm just fucking whatever. I'm using fucking mouse and keyboard. As odd as that sounds for a console game, it's like no, this works fine. This works great. So. Yeah, I've talked about Doom 64 a little bit already. It was the first Doom game that I really got into. I'd played the originals before, but I don't think I owned them or I sat down and tried to like beat them or anything like that. I'd play them at school or over a friend's house, you know, who owned it. I just fucking sit there and play for a couple hours, like, oh, this is fun and shit, and just run around the first few levels and shoot shit. I'm like, oh, this is cool and shit. But Doom 64, I was fucking obsessed with. I 100% completed it back in the day. You know, beat it on like the hardest difficulty level, found every secret, 100% at every fucking level, all the secret levels. You know, I'd sit there for fucking hours playing with the first White Zombie album on repeat. Yeah, that sums up my teenage years, absolute DSI's teenage years pretty nicely. He's fucking sitting there playing Doom 64. I'll listen to fucking White Zombie. Probably fucking high as shit, I'm sure. So, yeah, Doom 64 is different in tone from the PC games. Doom 64 was really going for like a straight up like horror vibe. You know, the original games were set in hell. Yeah, you know, most of the time is space stations and fucking hell and shit. Hell on Earth and all that. And, you know, those games were, like, bloody and violent, the originals. But I always think of, like, those games are more, like, metal, fucking, like, badass or oriented. You know, like, fucking, like, just like a power fantasy of just going around and shooting shit and running around and... You know, the soundtracks for those were MIDI versions of fucking metal songs and shit. It's just, you know, just fast paced for the time anyway, and just circle strafing and, you know, trying to fill up the screen with as many enemies as possible and shit. General fucking chaos and mayhem and good natured, really. Good natured fun, I'd say. The PC dooms were just kind of, you know what I mean? Just fucking kind of like tongue in cheek with, the ending of the original Doom was the fucking, the Doom Marine was pissed off that the fucking demons killed his pet rabbit, right? That's fucking like standard, like well known fucking Doom. Which again, like they carried over, like the 2016 like Doom reboot is just fucking like no, fucking badass, fucking punching shit, and you know what I mean, like fucking destroying all that shit. It's more like I'd say like that Doom's like fucking like action with horror elements. Doom 64 is like the flip side of that. And again, as I say this, I have to say like yeah, I'm talking about like you know Doom 1 and 2 and fucking whatever. Doom 3 was definitely fucking more of a horror game. I'll say that. But before that, Doom 64 was definitely a fucking horror game. So, you know, Doom 64, the music's fucking dark and gloomy and scratchy and, you know, almost like the fucking, you know, the Quake soundtrack, you know, the Nine Inch Nails fucking like just sounds like fucking like industrial scratching and all that shit. It's not fucking like blood pumping, like, it's not, you know, it's fucking just like ambient fucking scratching and fucking shit. Yeah, the sprites in the game are all redesigned. I mean, they resemble the, you know, there's a lot of the original enemies from the original games, but it's the same types and shit. I don't think there's anything really new in Doom 64 that's like brand new, like just for Doom 64, but they all definitely fucking look a lot different than fucking the PC games. It's that weird variations where it's fucking like, you know, instead of like a brown imp, they have like a purple imp or like a, you know, transparent fucking imp, you know, just shit like that. But I don't think there's anything really brand new. But yeah, the colors too, they're darker and muddier. The game's like less pixelated. I wouldn't go as far as to say that, like, you know, they're not like realistic looking or anything like that. But I mean, they're just fucking like the graphics and the colors and shit. It's just like darker and like moodier and shit. The enemies fucking sound different. I mean, again, it just sounds like more menacing, I'd say. A lot more fucking just like moaning and fucking like groaning and shit like that. The lighting for the game too, like I don't know if it was like a limitation they were running up for the N64 and that like they had to go this way, but you know, just like a lot of browns and purples and shit and like strobe light effects and yeah, it's like they were going for like a deliberate like haunted house thing for the game. It's a lot of fucking like monster closets, but they're, you know, it's like telegraphed monster closets where it's like, oh, you know, it's good, like jump, like almost like jump scares and shit. It's fucking like, I know something's gonna happen, and it's fucking, it's, you know, after like the fifth time picking up a key and the walls in the room fucking drop, you're surrounded by a demon, you know what I mean? You're surrounded by fucking demons. It's a pretty good bet it's gonna happen again, but it seems like more deliberate. It seems less like, it's gonna make like a maze and shit and make it difficult, and more like, we're gonna try to like spook you, you know, we're gonna try to like make like a fucking, again, like you're running through a fucking like haunted house with fucking strobe lights going off and shit and, jump scares. So yeah, they play on that where it becomes like, all right, you know what I mean? Let me fucking take stock of what I have for ammo and try to survive this. And, then like fucking like, all right, well, something like weird, something else will happen. You know what I mean? It's like, they kind of like play off of what you expect. And, again, it's kind of spooky for N64 spooky. It's pretty fucking spooky, I'll say that. No, or they do like fucked up shit just to mess with you. Like you'll see a key on a pedestal that's like with a switch to hit, and you fucking like hit that, and then the key will teleport all over the room. So you're going around chasing it, and then it stops in one area, and the walls in the room will fucking slide open instead of fucking like demons being there. It's like, oh, there's fucking like buttons here. That's weird. Buttons on the wall to hit. You know, like there's four of them you can press. So, it's like, all right, so then it becomes like a puzzle type thing where it's like, all right, well, fucking, there's only one you can hit that's not going to kill you. You hit the other ones, a fucking, like, ceiling will drop and it'll fucking, like, crush you and shit. You know, so they have, like, booby traps and that type of thing. So again, like the old Doom games had similar traps, but again, you just feel more designed for horror instead of just fucking, like, puzzles, you know. And it's not, I mean, there are like a ton of puzzles in this, but it's just more like fucking like, oh no, this is meant to like, you know, freak you out and shit, rather than being just fucking like, oh, it feels like it was like designed as like obstacles by the fucking the level designer, you know. Yeah, as far as the combat goes in Doom 64, rather than like the, you know, the speed, the circle strafing, it's like I seem to play it more of like a cover shooter almost. Again, I was fucking playing with a controller. It's not fucking like mouse and keyboard type shit. So it seemed to do like a lot of like ducking behind walls, pop out, take a shot, fucking duck back. You know, then of course you start doing that, and a lot of the times they'll fucking like spawn in enemies behind you. So, you know, you'll be fighting a fucking like hell knight, and then you hear fucking imps fucking snarling up your ass and all that shit. So, yeah, so it also seems more, it seems even more like Maisie than the original games almost. Or maybe like Maisie isn't the right word. I'd say like even more like puzzly. I consider like the old ones were like running around a maze and hence fucking Maisie. But yeah, once you like uncover the map and that was basically it. I mean, you beat the stage, you're fucking like, oh no, I solved this fucking like maze, this fucking maze. That's it. That's fucking the end of the stage. Doom 64 seems like a little bit more like elaborate, I think, where, well, the fucking like monitors will be on the wall that you can look through. And then you hit a switch and see how it changed the fucking the environment. Like, by looking through the monitor again, I'm fucking like, oh, that dropped something like fucking halfway across the fucking map. You know what I mean? Or, they have like buttons you can shoot, which, I don't think they had in the original Doom. I don't think you could shoot buttons. I could be wrong about that. I forget. But, you know, you'll be on a fucking platform. You shoot a button and fucking that'll lift the platform you're on, like, up a level. Then it's fucking like, all right, now I gotta look around for the next button to fucking lift me up again and all that shit. Yeah, no, it's not a fucking, like, mind-bending puzzle, but it's more like fucking just, like, a skill-based thing. It's fucking, I gotta time this shit right. And, you know, there's some, like, trickier shit, too. Like the one I get stuck on, where, you know, where you're in a room with there's a yellow key card. And there's two buttons that are on the wall, and you know you can see the card that's on a pedestal that you can't reach. So it's like, all right, you know, it's too high up. So you hit one of the buttons in the room, and it drops down to the floor. But then a cage will drop down on it to fucking. So it's like, all right, now I can't get it because the cage is there. So then you go to the other button, which you press that, and that fucking. The cage fucking drops down, but then the platform raises back up. So, you know, you're in a bit of a quantum conundrum there as to what to do. So it's fucking like, oh, one thing raises the pedestal up, so it's too high to get. The other one fucking drops the cage down. So it's just fucking like back and forth. I was stuck at least. I honestly don't know how to get by that part there. And there's only two fucking things in the room you can possibly fucking interact with. So, it's just fucking the two buttons, and they just fucking seem to like reset each other. So, I don't know. The game is impossible, I guess, at that point. That's the end of it. There's no way to get past that part. So I couldn't fucking figure it out. I mean, I figured that out when I was fucking like 14, but now I'm fucking 34, so you might as well be fucking asking me to perform brain surgery. It's just fucking up. Cage goes up. Fucking key goes down. Cage goes down. Fucking key goes up. You get in the cage. Cage goes in the water. Shark's in the water. So, you know, it's just more evidence that you get more retarded as you get older, and that's truly a frightening thought. Spookfest. I seem to be fucking at an impasse for our first official fucking spooky game of the season, where I'm just like, I don't know. Like, I'm fucking stuck. I was stuck on that for like 10 minutes. It sounds real stupid, but just like 10 minutes of like, what if I run and fucking do this? And it's like, I can't figure out this fucking stupid caged key puzzle. I'll figure it out eventually, I'm sure, or I'll fucking give up. I mean, that's always a fucking option in life. Trick or treat, as the saying goes. I think that's an Ernest Hemingway quote.
the blood, and all the rubble, and all in the return. Do you leave me up and leave me till with the Lord? Don't get them done, but don't let them run. Don't say blood, don't say blood. I'm gonna eat your back for that. You'll be left for that death. Or be still with mine. Doors of death, still or no. Not me, from the boat. Pulls out my, in your top. Three doors, you will stop. It is ending to your life. Pull out black, in the night. And the heat of my breath. You may live up, for me to not, for me to do with mine. Cause of death, still unknown. Nor in me, from the above. Full time fighting, dear to know. Please don't listen, you may stop. Enough, it's a day. Rise, full of flesh.
Welcome back. So yeah, I was fucking stuck as shit on Doom 64. Again, if I really wanted to, I could just fucking look the shit up online, but like, I don't know, dude. I don't know. I'll probably figure it out, or I'll just quit. And I wasn't like too frazzled about that, because Forza Horizon 4 came out. So yes, the early edition came out on a Friday, which usually, again, a bit, that usually pisses me off. Because I'm like, fucking, like, fuck, it comes out on a Friday, if it's a fucking, a lot of them, too, come out on fucking, I was like, oh, it comes out on a Friday at, like, noontime, which really fucks me over, but in this case, I will say, with Forza, I was bitching about that, but they do it right, at least, fucking Microsoft does it right, where it unlocked at fucking midnight, and, you know, let me fucking, like, preload it, everything was fine. I could actually play it, like, right at fucking, like, as soon as I get out of work at fucking Friday morning. I'm like, no, it's just ready to go. I can just fucking play it, and just start playing it in the middle of my week, rather than it fucking unlocking at fucking, like, noon or something gay. And spending all of fucking, like, Friday fucking downloading updates and patches and shit, and fucking, like, I'm not gonna fucking be able to play this till fucking, like, Saturday. It's fucking retarded. Yeah. Well, say this is actually fucking really smooth as far as that goes. It launched fucking Friday morning and just worked immediately, as it should. But, yeah, the last few fucking Microsoft games, if I remember, had been kind of a fucking mess, with just weird updates and saying, like, oh, it's not ready when it should be ready, or server issues with fucking Sea of Thieves, I think, was the last one I played, like, shit like that. It's kind of messy, but it's really fucking smooth. You know, I will say, well, I have a few issues with these first party Microsoft games on PC. I'm not in this camp that's all fucking like, wah, Windows 10, more like Windows shit for some reason, because my friends bitch about it. So I will too, because it's not Steam. And, you know, even though it's a fucking native app, I don't have to use a launcher with at all. And that's not me. I'm not fucking random internet faggot. That's just a character I play on the radio. So yeah, Forza Horizon 4 was it was real good at detecting my PC hardware and to just set it to fucking just immediately like right out of the fucking box of just the box right after fucking like launching it just fucking like. I wonder what fucking settings I'm going to have to fuck with to make this not look like shit, but it's just like, nope, just fucking just immediately just ultra wide fucking native resolution 1440p fucking graphics on fucking ultra. Just there is one higher setting on fucking Forza 4 called extreme, like it's like one above ultra, but again, I'm not some fucking random internet faggot who fucking gives a shit about that. Like, yeah, whatever the fucking the automatic settings were that they chose, it's fucking, it's like, oh, this looks fucking great and runs fucking really smooth and looks awesome, no fucking frame rate issues, seems fucking perfect. And I only bring that up too because after it's like fucking like, oh, it's on like the Nvidia thing too, like the GeForce Experience fucking app they have that's fucking like, oh, we'll optimize your games for you. And I've given up on that. You know, the program from fucking Nvidia that optimizes your games, That thing lies. Quite a few games recently where I've played where it's fucking, it's like, oh, I'll set it to fucking like ultra or like, ultra and a couple things high. And it's fucking like, oh, this runs perfectly like this. And then I'm like, fucking like, oh, I wonder what the GeForce experience settings are going to say. And it's telling me to set fucking, it's like, oh, you should set most of your settings to fucking like low or medium or off and all this shit. It's like, why the fuck would I do that? Like, it runs fucking like perfectly on fucking like ultra and shit. If I was a more cynical person, I might think that Nvidia is deliberately telling you to fucking lower your settings to make the game look worse than it should. You know, to make you think that you need to buy the fucking latest, Nvidia fucking graphics card, you know? If I was a more cynical person, I might think that. One more technical thing before I fucking bore everybody to death, then we'll talk about gameplay. Maybe a couple things I'm gonna fucking bitch about. So yeah, as far as streaming Forza goes, streaming fucking first party window games on PC. That's always been interesting, because yeah, years ago, I'd have fucking problems where I'd be using like OBS trying to stream it like you would any other game, these fucking Windows games and shit. But you can't use game capture because that only picks up exclusive full screen games. And when you set the Windows games to full screen, it's that bullshit fucking fake full screen where if you move the fucking the mouse, it's like, oh yeah, it's full screen. But then you move the mouse to the top of the screen, the fucking a bar comes down where you can minimize the game or close it out. And if you go to the bottom of the screen, a toolbar will pop up and shit. You know what I mean? Because, just because they want to do that. So, I mean, like, the upside of being, like, a native app is it runs like fucking any other fucking app, I guess, whereas fucking, like, yeah, you know, they think you should be able to fucking, like, minimize it real quick, and it's like, oh, I can just minimize and multitask and fucking pause the game and all this shit. It's like, oh, yeah, that makes sense, that's cool, but you don't really want to do that because, it's a fucking game, you know what I mean? It's fucking, it's like, no, I want it until I, like, exit out of the game or whatever. I want it. I don't want to fucking see the shit popping up when the mouse goes to the top of the screen and that shit. That's something that I figured they would have picked up on and fixed by now. I'm just fucking like, if I wanted full screen, I wanted fucking like full screen, you know, like that type of thing. Let you play the games in exclusive fucking full screen, but no, I mean the Xbox overlay where you can just like, you know, they want it so it's, you know, you hit the guide button on a controller or the fucking the Windows key on the keyboard and that brings up the game bar where it's, you know, it's like playing on the Xbox where it's like take screenshots and record and all that shit, like that'll pop up and it's like, oh, but that doesn't work in full screen. So rather than either make that like the game bar thing work in full screen, they just seem to be like, ah, just no games are really full screen, like that's their solution. That seems to be the logic. I don't know why they can't fucking fix one way or the other, you know, make it so that shit works or whatever. But it's not like just these Microsoft game for the first party ones either, like other game, you know, I've heard on here the other games that fucking just won't work fucking. Yeah, it's full fake. The fake full screen thing pisses me off every time. I've complained about it on here before. I think that piece of shit game, fucking Nier Automata, was the last one that did that I remember. And then with that one too, it was like, oh, there's a solution where they have like that borderless gaming program that you can run to fix that, that makes it so, you know, it's actual full screen. But try doing that for Forza Horizon 4, doesn't work. That doesn't do jack shit. So it's like, all right, it's like, again, it's not like a huge deal really in the grand scheme of things. It's just fucking like, oh, I'll just have to fucking move to the mouse to the fucking side of the screen and just fucking not breathe on the fucking mouse to have the fucking cursor pop up, or, you know, fucking as I'm playing with a controller, or fucking have it go to the top of the screen. Like, that shit fucking pisses me off. So just fucking like, just leave the mouse over here and just don't touch it. Like, fucking don't fucking breathe on it. Don't move. But, you know, then you have to set fucking OBS to when I'm streaming using OBS, like set that to window capture usually, which fucking, it's like, I can't do like the game capture thing to do on full screen. So it's like, I gotta do like this window capture, which, that I mean, you do that, that drops the quality of it. I mean, it can get like a little bit framier. So the quality is not as good and it's fucking worse than game capture, but oh well, whatever. Window capture. Try that for Forza. It doesn't work. It's just fucking, I try doing that, you get a fucking black screen. So what the fuck? So it's like, all right, now I have to do fucking like display capture, like that option on OBS. That's fucking never a good option to fucking capture a game. Like, it works, but fucking one of those deals is capturing like your entire fucking monitor pretty much. So it's not meant for fucking like, you know, high action, like, you know, high frame rate shit. So you do that and fucking the more movement there is on screen, the choppier the stream's going to get. And yeah, playing a racing game, it's like, yeah, it's like fucking, it's like, oh, you know, if you're in like the menus and shit, like whatever, you know, it's, your car is like still or whatever. It's like, oh, this looks fine. This looks okay. But, you know, as soon as you start fucking like racing and driving and shit, like it'll look, I'm like, ah, oh, you know, I'm like, ah, oh, looks good. Check the stream. Looks all right. As I'm fucking like in the menus or driving slow, but start going over like fucking like whatever, like 30 miles an hour, you look over, it's like, ah, cool, it's a fucking slideshow, that's great. It's just not much you can do about it. It's just not meant to fucking do that shit. So borderline fucking unwatchable stream. And yeah, I fucked with the bit rate a little bit and get it, the bit rate a bit. I tried turning it like up or down. I'm like, maybe I can, you know, look shittier, but it doesn't matter. Just you shouldn't be fucking streaming and display capture is the lesson there. I don't know. I don't know. I'm not going to waste a fucking week fucking around with the settings to get it like, oh, I know if you do this and that and fucking like fuck with this shit, you can get it like make it 10% more fucking stable or whatever. Every other fucking game works fine one way. Again, it's either like game capture if it, you know, is ideal and whatever, the fucking window capture if I have to, but every other game works fine in either of those two, and these fucking first party Microsoft, it's like, oh, the stream's gonna look like shit, you know. I made a topic on the fucking OBS forums. We'll see if any fucking autistic internet genius can find a solution for that. Probably not, but we'll see. Yeah, the other thing that has been a point of contention for the past few Forzas is the music, right? So there's no more option for making your own custom soundtrack to listen to like a radio station, like you could in, I think, the Forza Horizon 3, you could do that. They announced the fucking like, oh, we're getting rid of Groove or whatever, we're not doing that anymore, and they'd switch to like Pandora or whatever. It's just completely gone, which, you know, I knew was gonna come in fucking Forza Horizon 4. We knew that. It's gay, but what can you do about it? So I tried listening to like the standard game music, and yeah, that blows. This fucking, it's really fucking bad. What they have in there, it's you know, there's like a rock type station in there that's it's mostly fucking homo butt rock, but pretty cheesy. It's one or two good songs on there. It's like fucking like, oh, Jack White's fucking Over and Over, and mostly it's just shit. Like, you don't want to listen to it. It's fucking, this is bad. There's like a classical station on there, which I like classical music. I can do like some classical while driving and shit, but only for like a little bit. Like, I can't do that for like an extended period of time. And plus it's all the same songs they always use for fucking like classical soundtracks, and like every game was, you know, Flight of the Valkyries and fucking In the Hall of the Mountain King, etc., like all that shit. So then like the rest of it is just all awful fucking techno and fucking house music with this fucking, ugh, God, like fucking EDM, the kids call it, erectile dysfunction music. Makes your dick soft, and if you listen to it long enough, you'll just never get hard again. So that's disappointing, because really fucking, like, it's just, you know, new Forza and fucking listening to like my own music. That's always gone hand in hand. Like, that's been a staple since fucking like the original Xbox. You know, you can make your own soundtrack of just fucking like, just always like connected of just fucking like, oh, Forza, fucking driving, listen to fucking music, like, you know, my own fucking music, my own soundtrack on fucking random loops and shit. So again, I'm old and I barely have a chance to fucking listen to music in real life anymore. I switched to mostly listening to boring podcasts, because it's too much of a hassle to find fucking 40 hours of fresh music every fucking week to listen to at work. But, you know, any retard can record a fucking podcast, and they do, so, but, you know, I'm just fucking like, oh my God, this, you know, the soundtrack sucks, but I'm just fucking like, I'm just gonna have to deal with the fucking Forza's garbage fucking music for now, I guess. That lasts exactly one fucking play session. I'm just fucking like, this music kind of sucks, and whatever, I'll deal with it, and I'm like, I guess I can't, this is too fucking bad. Not only is the music bad, but I'm going to fucking, I'm like, all right, so, you know, I play the game again. I'm like, fucking, the stream sucks, whatever. It's choppy, but what can you do? And music sucks. Oh, well, you know, whatever. I'll deal with it. Can't do much about that either. It is what it is. And I'll finish up playing the first day and fucking, I'm going to sleep, and then fucking like, my phone's fucking beeping, fucking doo-doop, fucking Google alert, your YouTube video has been blocked worldwide due to copyright infringement. Once again, YouTube fucking blocked my fucking video for music that was on the fucking game that I was playing. It's like, dude, fuck off, dude. And like, then I'm like, at that point, I'm like, well, you know, if they're going to pull that fucking bullshit, I don't care at all about playing my own fucking music over the entire game and streaming that. And yeah, all the fucking songs that I've used for this show over the last fucking 4 years, like, those are all saved, and I'll just take that and play the entire list and do that on fucking shuffle. And there's some fucked up weird shit in there. Just fucking like, the Mega Man theme's playing 1 second, and then there's audio of a girl fucking deep throating a dick for fucking 5 minutes the next. And as I'm like, yeah, whatever, man. My stream's set to fucking mature audiences, and it's gonna get fucking blocked anyway. So fucking blow me. I don't care. You can fucking deep throat me. It's almost fucking unwatchably fucking choppy too. So I'm like, see how much I give a fuck. So I'm just gonna fucking play whatever the fuck. I don't care. Is that it for me bitching? For the most part, I'm sure something else will come up. But Forza Horizon 4, it's a good game. That's the thing. It's not really like that different from Forza Horizon 2 or 3. The first one kind of sucked, but it's an open world racing game, which isn't my favorite racing genre. I mean, I prefer like the closed tracks and shit, but Horizon does a decent job of giving you shit to do in the open world to cut back on the feeling that you're wasting time just driving from one race to the next for no fucking reason. It's set in England, which honestly isn't like that exotic or anything for me. You know, it's just fucking like, it's, you know, England, you know what I mean? It's fucking like, it's okay. But yeah, it's pretty. There's plenty of variety in the environments. The world is well made. It's, you know, it's interesting to just fucking bomb around in and check shit out. And yeah, really the main goal of Forza Horizon 4 is just drive around and do stuff. It doesn't really matter what, just free roam and launch yourself off of hills and smash into fences and stone walls that, a lot of the walls look like they should just fucking like explode your fucking car, you know, obliterate your fucking car, but you just drive right through them like they're not even fucking there. And they do have like more traditional races that you can go to, just, you know, with the point to point, the lap based fucking ones, or, you know, he's fucking just, you know, go on the map, you see a bunch of icons, drive to the icon and just start those races. You know, they have the barn finds where they'll highlight a circle on the map, and somewhere within that area is a barn with a car in it, and if you find the barn, there's, you know, you collect the car. They have those showcase events where you're just doing like really stupid shit, like racing a fucking jet or a train. And, you know, those are just fucking, that pretty much just, those races are just like time trials pretty much that happen to have like this crazy shit going on in the background as you're doing them. But I mean, those are fun. Again, those are intense, nonetheless. Not so, again, like not like too much is really, not much is like drastically changed as far as, you know, the game goes, the flow of it and what you're doing, but it's definitely the fucking the best made game in the series. I'll say that. Just, there's put like more shit to do. There's more stuff to do, to the point where like some of the sections of the map are just like overloaded with all these fucking icons on top of each other and shit. But, you know, that's a good thing. I mean, there was nothing worse in the other games, and just, I'm like, oh, I'm just going to drive to one event to the other and fucking barren environments and fucking like, you know, well, you know, I guess I might as well just fucking smash all these fucking bonus boards here and drive on every road, because that's something to do, you know, that's something that's on like the checklist of things to do, is drive every road and smash all these fucking billboards or whatever. And then fucking like, I did all that, and now you feel fucking dirty afterwards, because, you know, this is like the reward, it was never that good. It's fucking, yeah, you know, here's like whatever, 10,000 credits or some shit, or here's like whatever, it's an extra spin on the fucking roulette wheel or some shit. It's like, cool, well, it's fucking, you know what I mean, it's just wasting like an entire day doing that. It's kind of stupid. But yeah, I mean again, it's just like a few changes they did, a few major ones. But the changes that they did make like really help with just fleshing the game out. The big one, of course, is they have the different seasons in there. Yeah, when you first start playing, they're gradually just opening up these races to you, and like as you level up, you'll hit a threshold, like a level threshold, where you can advance to the next season. You know, I'd be like, all right, well, you know, you get like however much fucking influence or whatever points they call it, like XP points. It's like, oh, you know, whenever you're ready, just fucking drive and hit this fucking certain spot, and it'll fucking like, all right, now we'll transition from fucking, you know, spring to fucking summer or whatever, and you just go through all four seasons at the beginning as like an introduction, just to see like how they're all different. A weather season, not a racing season. You know, they have like spring, summer, winter, fall, those guys. Yeah, I mean, that changes the driving conditions fairly significantly. I mean, winter is obviously the big one, where you're, you know, sliding around on fucking ice and the lakes are frozen. You can fucking drive over them and shit. And you can't really go off-road as much and like beeline to an objective, like going through forests and shit. That's not the best idea in the winter, because, you know, the heavy snow will just bog your car down and shit, where it's fucking like, I just kind of going like 2 miles an hour now in this fucking snow. You know, it's not like fucking like, oh, I'm on a fucking forest and like a Jeep and going through. It's like, you got to go pretty slow in there. But you know, even like with fall too, I mean, there's wet leaves on the ground that make you slide around, and spring, you have to deal with, you know, puddles, like just giant fucking, you know, sections of the road that just fucking slow you the fuck down if you hit them. So, you know, the Forza Horizons, like the arcade racer of the series, you know, Forza Motorsports, the realistic one, then Horizons, the arcade racer. But, you know, if you happen to live in some pussy climate that stays like the same temperature year round, and you want an approximation of like how nuts weather can get when you're driving, there you go. I mean, here it is. I mean, I don't think it's ever been done better than that. I'm just fucking like, oh no, this is a pretty good, like, our, you know, video game representation of like how driving through fucking, you know, driving on the road when it's fucking like snowing out, you know, when there's ice in the road really is, or fucking driving in the fall and like sliding on leaves and shit. So they do that really well, and, you know, and the scale of the open world just like adds to that, you know what I mean? Where it's not just like, oh, well, no, here's a fucking like winter race and shit. And it's like, oh, I see, it's kind of, you know what I mean? Or fucking like Forza Motorsport, I'm like, oh, well, now there's puddles on the track, and it's good, I gotta just avoid the puddle. It's like, no, you get more of a feeling of just fucking like, ah, well, like crazy it is and shit, of just how they do it very well, is what I'm getting at. So yeah, the other really smart change that they make, and this ties into the seasons, is, you know, they make the game more of like a live experience. Like every week, like every fucking like real time, like fucking Meat World week, every 7 days, the seasons in the game change, you know, so they'll give you like these timed events and challenges that are tied to the season to do, where if you participate in the events, you'll get rewarded with whatever money and cosmetic items and shit. It kind of like what they do with a lot of RPGs now, where they use like MMO elements kind of to keep you playing, the daily and weekly challenges and shit. Only those are like tied to the seasons, and fucking hopefully they're going to be brand new races every day and week and shit or whatever. So it's not just going to be like, oh, you know, grind the same fucking exact same bullshit over and over to watch some numbers go up, you know. It'll be like, oh no, here's some different shit, like that's like specific, you know, just tied, here's a race that's just going to be for this today or whatever. Because, you know, Forza Horizon it is like customizable from like the ground up. I mean, you can go in there and go to like any race and just like tweak some shit and like set restrictions and make your own tracks kind of, and like races and that type of thing. So it is very just like make your own, you know, design your own shit. You can do it yourself. So I'm sure that's just kind of what they're doing kind of on their end for like the official shit they're doing every day and shit. So, I don't think like making new content for it will ever become an issue. You know what I mean? It's not like fucking like, oh, we just ran out of time or whatever. We're just going to repeat the same thing. They have no excuse to do that. It's just fucking like, oh no, we can at least just make a new track or whatever. Do it so you only can drive like whatever fucking Subaru Imprezas or something. You know what I mean? It's just something like that. It's not going to be difficult to make new fucking races. So, and normally too, I see that type of thing. It's fucking like, oh, daily challenges and that type of shit is, I'm like, oh, it's just kind of like a shitty treadmill. But again, with how they're doing, like it's like, oh, the seasons are going to change. It's going to be like, you know, different driving conditions. Like it makes so much like sense in fucking like Horizon. It just makes sense now. I'm like, oh yeah, of course I want to fucking do this shit and just see how all this shit's changing. And, I think they did that shit, like the live fucking challenges. They did that right, I think. So the game is like crack, you know, as many little fucking like legacy issues as I can fucking like nitpick about it. Like, you know, some of the races are just like so open to different car classes. There's really no reason to pick anything but the absolute fucking best car in the class. You know what I mean? Like sometimes it seems like there's no way to win besides fucking like, unless you want to like drop the AI difficulty down to like the lowest setting or, you know, that's kind of a problem still. It's fucking like, oh, this is just pretty much like a straight up, just hit the gas and go type of race. And if I don't have the fucking fastest cars, it's, oh, well, I'm just going to be last or whatever. There's no way I'm going to be able to beat a faster car. And this is no like fucking like skill based, like turns or whatever. It's not going to test my handling skills. It's pretty much just hit the gas and go. And why am I going to pick like a car with like fucking whatever fucking 100 hand, you know, like 50 speed as opposed to like a fucking A car with like 100 speed. There's no way I'm going to fucking like beat this shit. So, that's still kind of an issue where it's not restricted enough, I guess, is the problem there. They'll interrupt you in the game like way too often. So, you know, when you finish like a race or an activity, the fucking dumb bitch fucking narrator will take control of your map and be like, oh, hey, look over here. You should check this out. And sometimes it'll make you pick like what they want you to pick. That's fucking like all the way across the map. And it's fucking just like, I don't want to do that. Like I was like in the middle of like trying to clear out this section of the map and doing these races here. And you're just forcing me to go over here. How's this? Like one change I think is really gay actually is they have fucking, emotes and like purchasable houses. And I mean, emotes are fucking obnoxious fucking period. But it's like, oh, and I can do like these emotes that fucking show you like when you're on the podium or before you start a race, your guys like dancing and shit. And that's gay period. But the way you earn them is through the, through those fucking roulette wheel spins that you get for leveling up. So that means that besides like getting like cars or getting cars on those spins or money to buy cars, which is all I really fucking care about. So now it's like, all right, cool. I got a wheel spin. Am I gonna get a good fucking car or a lot of money? It's like, oh no. Well, now you have like this chance of you're gonna waste your spin on like the chicken dance or fucking pink shorts or like a horn that plays a fucking like boner sound or some shit. So just like shit, you know what I mean? Like. It's to the point where it's like, I don't even give a shit of like the wheel spins. Like, I don't even like pay attention to that anymore because, there's just so much fucking garbage on there that I really don't give a shit about. It's fucking like, I'll just get this over with, I guess, and fucking just, you know, go. And I guess when I get to another race, I'll see what I have for cars and I'll buy a better car, I guess. Like, that's all I can do. Cause yeah. You know, I just fucking buy the cars that I want. Like I've done for the past fucking decade playing fucking Forza. Yeah, and then they have like those houses too where it's like, oh, you know, you get these fucking like all around the map there's these fucking houses you can buy and they're fucking like wicked fucking expensive. Like some of them are millions of dollars and they just seem to like do nothing. It's just fucking like, I bought the house. They have you show a little fucking cinema of you like pulling into the driveway and then you fucking, it's like, oh, now you can access your fucking garage from this spot. Cool. You know what I mean? It's fucking like useless. Like number one, why don't they just fucking have you be able to do that like anywhere in the world, which I found out you can do. I'm not sure if they did fix it for this one specifically for four, it's a pretty big fix. But I thought in the old ones I was getting pissed off because it's like fucking like, I just get out of this race and fucking like whatever, driving a fucking D-class like piece of shit like Honda Civic or something like that for a race, and it's like, oh cool, now I'm stuck. I don't want to fucking drive this thing around this fucking the world, you know what I mean, like the open world in this fucking Honda Civic. But they just kind of put you in there at the end of the race and it's fucking like, I thought you had to like change your car by going to a garage or whatever, drive all the way to a garage to fucking change into a better car and then fucking do another race and you're stuck with another fucking car you don't want to drive. But now you can just, there's an option in the menu. You just hit like deliver car and you just fucking pick what you want and just wait like 5-10 seconds and it's fucking, you just have like the car like that. So again, that's a big fix or something I didn't realize before. Made my life easier. But it's also, makes these fucking, these purchasable houses like even more fucking useless. So I don't know what the fuck, what the point of that, these are just to fucking waste money or, no, they want to be like fucking like Grand Theft Auto Online or something. They'd be like fucking like, oh, look at fucking what I own or whatever. The money I spend on houses, like, who gives a shit? But despite that, I mean, I can't fucking stop playing the game again. It is like fucking crack. It's all I played since fucking Friday, like nonstop. Again, as much as I make fun of people for fucking falling for fucking like addictive games that are designed to be like addictive and into like the grind to just fucking waste time. Yeah, Forza Horizon 4, yeah, it's got its fucking hooks into me pretty deep. There's always just more to do, and the fucking, you know, the driving itself is fucking like fantastic. It's arcadey fantastic, and you know, sucked me right into a fucking time hole. It's fucking where I'm, you know, I guess I'll play it for a little bit, and then fucking it's like 3 days later. It's just fucking, that's what the fuck have I been doing all week? It's like, oh yeah, it's fucking just every second has been playing fucking Forza Horizon 4. One thing I did do this time to mix it up a little bit, which is, you know, it's blasphemous for me. I'm actually playing the game entirely in third person, like the third person behind the car view. And I've always played in cockpit view, and every fucking Forza, I'm just fucking like, oh no, it should be played in fucking cockpit view. But, you know, I would have called you a pussy for even suggesting anything but playing in first person, but, just to really like embrace of like, you know, the arcadey fucking driving theme. You know, I'm just fucking, I'm like, ah, well, whatever, dude. It's not really like I'm simulating driving a fucking car. I'm just fucking sliding around fucking doing these stupid races. So, you know, just that to make it different. And plus now I can see the fucking cars for once. I see the outside of a car that I'm driving for once, which usually I don't. Usually I'm just looking at the dashboard and shit. So yeah, Forza Horizon 4 is fucking great. I had quite a bit more to talk about. You know, I played some more Bard's Tale. Had quite a bit to add there too, but yeah, we're getting up there. I need my Forza fix. Well, I can fucking play it for a second, because yeah, I mean the new fucking release train is rolling on pretty hard. Games I completely fucking forgot about that were coming out, like fucking Mega Man 11, that I think that came out today. I could play that right now. Fucking Mega Man 11. That's a fucking drop everything. Even I have to cut back on the Forza crack to play fucking Mega Man 11. And for a spooky season, and going along with the H.P. Lovecraft history lesson from the opening, there's a turn-based Cthulhu game that's out today, I think, or tomorrow, called Ak-Chung Cthulhu Tactics, or something like that. It's like a tactics fucking game that has Lovecraft monsters and Nazis in it, so how can you go wrong with that? I think Assassin's Creed Odyssey, which fucking, I actually do want to play. I'm like fucking, I play that in a heartbeat. Like it looks really good, and I really like fucking Origins and shit, but I'm also so backed up. Like I don't know if I'll have a fucking minute to breathe to fucking check that, let alone play this fucking, I'm sure it's a gigantic game that'll take like 80 hours to fucking just play through. So I want to play fucking Assassin's Creed Odyssey. I just don't know if I'll have the chance to do with that. I don't know. Spook season. Spook season is a busy season here at the Grunt Free Press podcast. As you can see by the work going on at www.gruntfreepress.com. April Fools. It's a different thing. I'm Absolute Deicide. Podcast at gruntfreepress.com is the email address. And I've seen that they now have like these Reese's peanut butter cups that have fucking like a cookie filling in them. Those look pretty good. Tell me how they are if you try those. I actually want to know. Diabetes. Boo.